Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. It's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. Let's go check in with Mike Jeffcoat. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mickey. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, brother.
Me too. Hanging in there and living the life.
Yeah. Living the dream or somebody else's nightmare.
Yeah, no kidding. So, anyhow, I had a friend of mine call me and said he saw something on Facebook where there's a guide on Livingston. I think it was Friday morning or Thursday morning. Yeah, I think it was Thursday. Took his customers out, caught a lemon of catfish off the buck edge, and then we caught a lemon of white bass.
Yeah.
Went, wow, that's kind of early.
They're nuking them at Livingston. I've been seeing a lot on white bass and catfish over there.
I can't believe them white bass are back on that lake in April.
Yeah.
You know, I fished for them things for several years, and Easter weekend was the earliest I ever seen them back. Now, I'm talking about on the main lake.
Yeah.
You know, below the bridge.
Right.
You know, because we used to start catching them about Waterwood up in there, fishing the edge of them rivers, and just fish them all the way down to the lake. But, man, one year I caught them right there in front of that old marina that had that dance hall and everything. I can't remember the name of it. It's kind of at the end of old 190 on the east side.
Right.
We caught them, me and Dimmer and both. We caught them, and it was cold, but they was there, and we caught them. But, man, I've never heard of them being there this early. Only thing I can figure, because, you know, them fish had a rough spawn this year. When that river doing what it was doing, and them old creeks backed up, it was hard for them fish to spawn.
Mm-hmm.
And what they'll do is they'll stop at trying to spawn and come back to that lake, and they'll just absorb them eggs. Because I remember that Easter that we done that, them fish were still full of eggs, but they was done hard. You know, they just, they wasn't able to spawn. So that's great, though. I mean, makes me want to go up there and see if I can do that old school stuff anymore.
I ain't got no.
I don't have any old reliables anymore. I don't know if they even sell them anymore. But
I don't know.
That was one of the best baits there was.
I think Harry Chan, when he was still, you know, when he still owned Pinball, he had them.
Right. He still had them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Old reliables.
They had. I don't know about four colors, but that old, they called it mustard. It looked like old yellow mustard. That was one of the best, it and white. But that was a fish.
Some old timers called it baby poop.
Yeah.
Mustard, that baby was a, poop.
You
baby
know,
poop it, yellow.
Yep. Just a hunk of lead with some paint and a treble.
Yeah.
But then you go back and think about the little George. There wasn't nothing special about that little George, but that was a fish catching machine. That man made a dollar off of them $1 pieces of lead. But that's crazy. I'm surprised that it's happening this early already.
Yeah, me too, but I've been seeing it.
Huh. Yeah, Rusty, he took, the boys have been out, they had another spring break this week, and they went again, I think Wednesday morning, and they caught 20. He said it happened in 20 minutes, and that was the end of the hunt on Conroe. Yes. Yeah, he said the shad wasn't no problem to catch, but he said them fish just, where he was at, they bit and they quit. And that's how that is on them bulkheads.
Yeah.
So, them shad will fall off that sun and get up, they'll fall off of them, and them catfish will go right with them. So,
Well, I've been seeing a lot on Somerville. You know, they've been catching a lot of white bass on Somerville, too. They're already chasing shad up there. I just got a text from a listener, too, said his friends caught 150 last week on Somerville.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. You know, that's one lake I ain't never fished.
Somerville?
Nope.
Man, I did when I was a kid, you know, or you know, young man.
Young man.
Back
yeah.
in the day, yeah, but
I've never been on it. So, and I got a good friend of mine that has got access to Gibbons right now, and we can't make it happen, but I'd like to go over there and catch them. So, but it's done late now for that, for us going to catch them big fish. But it's interesting what's happening over there. It looks like the state is going to take that park over and open it back up to the public. And it's going to be limited access. But
right.
Looks like that's what's going to happen. You know, somebody had bought all of that and was going to subdivide it. And I was kind of, I mean, Darlene was kind of wanting to look into that. But now, I don't know, something's backfired and that's not going to happen. So I don't know. You know, you hear rumors and all kinds of things, but don't know what's going on with it. But Darlene wants to live on the water somewhere. And I told her I'm not interested, but Gibbons might interest me.
It might, yeah.
Might, yeah.
Yes, might.
But like I told her, I don't want no bulkhead to deal with and all that.
No, that's infamous.
Small lake like that, though, that would, and they probably won't allow bulkheads. I don't know. But that's a great thing about her. You know, there is no bulkheads on Rayburn.
Now, except that one cove you go into that has the big flat on the left and you got that big house on the point. He has a bulkhead for whatever reason, but it's never in the water. You know, it's a
reinforcement. It's a dry bulkhead.
Dry yeah, bulkhead, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and if you get way up the Sabine up there, when it gets out of that government controlled land, there's some piers and stuff up there. It's been years, but I know there's some piers and stuff up there. But
right,
that's way up there, and that's some dangerous country to run in. Boy, this bass world's
been way up there like that, like you're talking
about.
Oh,
I have. Well, back in the days, I wasn't much Rayburn I didn't look at. Well, there's nothing on Rayburn I didn't look at back in the day. So.
Yeah.
But, boy, the bass world's in a turmoil right now.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, I done seen yesterday where they're talking about making a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit.
Yeah, I remember back in the day they had the 150-horsepower limit. You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, but them boats still, I mean, they'd run.
Still we'd get talk it about pretty that, good, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially those XR6s back then.
Yeah. So, we'll see what's going to take place. I mean, I don't know how they'll control that, but the speed's out of hand. And I did see yesterday where they said fog was not a factor in that collision.
What, the Alabama collision?
Yeah.
MLF?
Yeah. FLW.
Yeah. Now, that one in North Carolina, didn't I see where they charged the angler with negligence or something?
Yep. Well, I think it's going to happen on Smith Lake, too. Because, well, some saying there's two fatalities, and now they're saying there's three, so I don't know if somebody passed in the hospital or what.
Yeah, there are two drowning, and I think one of the guys injured ended up passing or something, made it three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're talking about manslaughter on this deal, so.
The Lake Norman one, they charged a Oklahoma fisherman. Was charged in that one. Looking it up here.
Well, I mean, you know, it's no different in my world, your world. There's some of these bait boats now that can really roll.
You think?
You know,
110, yeah. 115 miles an hour?
Yeah. All them flatbreads, yeah, them SEBs, whatever they're called.
Yeah.
They'll roll.
They get it. Speed kill.
You know,
a lot of weight.
I mean, I'm driving a big, heavy boat, and it's 26 foot, right, and then it's a big, heavy boat. Matter of fact, I have to get my trailer inspected, get my license plates. And, you know, with the right prop on it, I'd make that boat run 60. But it's just too fast. And, man, all these young guys and stuff down there, it's one speed for them. Mash it. You know, but they're having the guys pay, I mean, the customers pay for gas and everything now, and I don't know how they're getting away with it. I mean, Brent Bailey told me the other day, he said, go online and look at some of the prices these guys are charging. I mean, there are some guys charging $1,200 plus fuel for an inshore trip.
No way.
And be back. Yeah. And be back at the marina by noon.
Not me.
So
that's crazy.
Well, I don't know how they're getting away with it. I really don't. So, matter of fact, I had some customers question me yesterday, trip coming up. Man, we've been looking online, and you and several other guys are some of the cheapest down there. We don't understand that. I said, well, what's to understand? Well, we're seeing where they're charging $1,100 supply and bait, and we have to pay for the fuel. I said, well, go get them. You don't need me. You know, if that's what you want to do, go do it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, so get your heart broke.
Pocketbook broke.
Yeah, pocketbook broke. Well, the whole deal of it is, a bunch of these young guys, they got that network going. And, you know, if somebody is not catching them, somebody's going to help them out and call them in and, you know, and phone service has got pretty good down there now.
But that's
and
not
so
a guide.
They don't have,
if you got to depend on other people to put you on fish, you're not a guide, man.
Exactly right.
I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to go do my thing. Just put the boat in and go fishing. I don't want to have to worry about somebody calling me looking for them or me having to call them looking for them.
Here's the whole deal. Here's that whole deal calling in and playing that network game. Time you get there, it's over anyhow. You're
that's
exactly
that.
Right.
First one on them you wins anyway. I mean,
yeah, exactly. So,
heck,
you know, and you wind up burning gas, you know, they're 20 miles away from you and they call you in and, you know, you make that 20 mile run.
Hey, and to be truthful about it, they're not going to call you in until they've had all they wanted out of them and it's pretty much over.
Exactly.
And they'll call you in. That's you're like a cat chasing its tail out there.
Yeah.
Hell with that. You know, go fishing, man. Do your thing.
Yep. Exactly. Now, it's like me and Brent and Brandon and ballet boys. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess I'm like a father to them boys. You know, they'll come on the radio. He said, you might want to come check me out. I understand that. And that's only when we're fishing together. I mean, we got the same group, you know, need three boats, two boats, whatever it is. Might come check me out or come see me. You know, well, if I'm struggling a little bit, and we're going to be close by anyhow, probably looking at one another. That's a little different. Call me on the telephone, tell me, hey, man,
people tell
you
me all
get
the time,
it.
Said, I fished with old so-and-so, and he stayed on the phone all day.
Yep.
Talking to all his buddies.
Oh, it's crazy. You know, like I said.
Oh, goodness. I got to go, Mike. I just look at the clock, man. Where'd time go in that break? That's nuts.
I don't know.
It's gone.
We talked about a lot. It's gone. Hey, everybody, man, have a
throw them out a number so they won't call you.
832-338-9376. Catch us on the web at RJ Hunting and Fishing. And everybody be safe and have a happy Easter tomorrow. Remember
thanks,
what it's
Mike.
All about.
We'll see you, buddy. Take
later.
Care. All right, later. Well, hey, anglers, are you ready to hook into something big? It's time for the Matagorda Slam Fishing Tournament. That's happening Friday, April 25th, down in Matagorda, Texas. They're kicking things off Thursday night on the 24th. You can join them at the Captain's Meeting and Calcutta Dinner at Rusty Hook Ranch with Rudy's Barbecue, cold drinks, and a chance to get in on the action before the lines even hit the water. So then it's game on, safe light launch, Friday morning, and weigh-in will be from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Matagorda Harbor. So bring your A-game, your best team, and your lucky rods. Entry is just $400 per team. And here's the best part. Your entry includes all-you-can-eat crawfish on Saturday at the legendary Matagorda Slam Crawfish Cook-Off. Proceeds benefit the Hook's Pit Junior Anglers Association. They're helping get more kids on the water and into the great outdoors. Spots are filling fast. Register today at matagordaslam.com. That's matagordaslam.com, and get ready to slam. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 521 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Tiki Island, Texas. Check in with James Plogg, see what he's up to. Captain, what's happening?
What's up, buddy?
What's going down?
Nada, man. Nada.
Wind's blowing down small children.
Small children.
What'd you call it? A split skirt alert?
That's a split skirt alert, buddy. Blowing down palm trees and small children. Man, but, well, I ain't going, so it don't matter. But every night that tide rips out of here, man.
It does. Close. It's hard to believe it can go out that much against that wind, isn't it?
Against this wind. Yeah,
that's some strong current, brother.
Buddy, and it... You know, because I look at all these pilings and these, you know, things around my pier, and I can tell, you know, when it's high. And finally, it was the first time, even though it's getting high, I guess when I got home late yesterday, and it was all the moss and the oysters, and it was high. It was high. I said, man, there's a real high tide. But it's gone again this morning.
Right.
Is it one of them negative in the reds? I ain't even looked at a
time. No, it's an 0.0. It's just they've all been, 0.0s, but you'd think it'd be a negative 0.9 or whatever, the way it's going
no
out.
No kidding. Hey, if there was no wind, it would really be low.
Yeah, it would.
Oh, well. But, no, nah, I ain't got nothing. I ain't go back to work till Monday. We don't go on Good Fridays no more. We, you know.
No.
So, and then I took Thursday off. I took the little lady to play golf. And
yeah. How's that golf game working out for you, brother?
Man, it was really good yesterday. Thursday, not so much. Yesterday was really good. So I was pretty happy about that. And it was windy, dadgum.
Yeah, that's a good thing about golf. It's a lot like fishing and sex. You know, you don't have to be that good at it to enjoy it, you know?
I ain't good at none of them. Hey, like you said, every dog has his day. Every now and then, I ain't very good fishing
that
anymore.
Blind hog finds an acorn every once in a while, don't he?
That's right, buddy. And every now and then, you hit a golf ball straight a few times. That way you can enjoy it a lot better when you finally do something good.
Well, I tell you, I was watching a little golf yesterday. If Scotty Scheffler could get his putting back, there wouldn't nobody beat him again. It'd be like last year. He is he's barely off on his putting. I mean, barely.
Nicky, believe it or not, I hadn't watched any, and that's the signature. See, they changed that. Used to, after the Masters, nobody would play in that tournament, and PGA's and
everybody but Rory's there.
Exactly. So
that's RBC Heritage, man.
I know who's leading it. I don't know nothing. I ain't seen anything.
Justin Thomas was leading it when I turned it off yesterday, and Min Woo Lee, or one of those Asian players, was right on his heels. And
is Scotty right up there too?
Yeah, he was up there, but he just couldn't make a putt. I mean, he's throwing darts everywhere and just couldn't put one in the hole. Just crazy.
Well, he's burning the edges on him, ain't he?
He is. Look at the lip outs he had on Sunday at the Masters. If he'd have made all those putts, he'd have won.
100%. That's what you and I are talking about. If he'd have made some putts, and it ain't like he's just burning the edges up on all of
lip outs, just burn. I mean, missing by a half inch over one side or the other.
Yeah. See, when I get home late, the only thing that's on, and I purposely hadn't looked at it because I wanted to watch it today, the LPGA thing is on, and then you can see the rerun of the RBC, but it's whatever you call it, but it comes on at like 9 o'clock, man, and I ain't making that one.
Yeah.
I tried, but next thing I know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. So,
yeah, I'm with you.
I ain't seen nothing, so I don't know. We'll see. Man, there's some kind of big old bird flying around over here. Them old herons, they fly around at night.
Probably big old blue heron.
Yeah, they go check these different piers out and they can get them some stuff. Man, there's so many shad in these lights, dude. I mean, there are billions of them.
Oh, I was going to ask you, are your Bahia sunglasses holding up good? I love mine. I've still got the same pair, and they're hanging in there big time.
Oh, yeah, man, mine are good.
Man, the frames, the lenses, everything. I mean, they're not scratched up. And
Cameron's putting a lanyard on another pair of mine. I dropped some on the ground.
That'll do it. That'll scratch
it. And I put a – yeah, it put a – man, it put a little nick in them. I mean, we hit the concrete, and it's right where my eye looks at it. So.
Well, naturally, that's always where it's going to be. It won't be off to the side out of your vision.
No. Only thing they need to do – I think is like where you put your lanyards on, you know, on the ear pieces, there's no holes. So we drill, you know, we got to drill holes in there, and I think they should try maybe do that. Because that's a pair of glasses you need a lanyard on. You don't want to lose your glasses.
Well, I've been using them rubber cup slip-on lanyards. You know, it slip over the earpiece.
Uh-huh.
Those work pretty good.
Yeah, no, they're good. I used to use them oh, man, they were kind of foamy things. What do you call them? You'd slide on the earpieces.
Yeah, I got you. I remember those.
Catchers, crotchies, or remember, you know what I'm
talking
about. Yeah. But Cameron makes them out of Dacron for us, and they're pretty cool, and you can't hardly feel that it's back there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason he makes them for us with the splicing.
Yeah, those rubber tube things that you were talking about, I remember they used to stick to your neck, you know.
Exactly.
They bothered me.
What
but
was
they
the
worked.
Name of them things? Well, that's, we didn't have a whole lot of stuff back
could
then.
Could be worse. Hey, could be like an old Bill Dance sunglasses days, man. You'd look back running 50 miles an hour and the lens would blow out of them.
Yeah. Hey, but you had that first pair of Bill Dances. If you remember, they came with a little old cheesy lanyard, remember?
They had a little old cheesy string lanyard. But,
yeah, that came
hey,
in the pack.
That's all we had.
Hey, you'd be wiping the lenses off. They just pop off in
just
your
rag. Pop out. I remember one day you looked back at something, and your lens blew out, and you looked like a one-eyed dog the rest of the day.
Yeah, it just blew out. I think Dana had one blow out, too, and they were actually pretty good glasses.
$5.95 a pair at Walmart, all you want.
You had the first pair I ever saw. Blaine had, he was wearing Ray-Bans.
Yeah, they weren't polarized, though. You had to have polarization.
And I had my glasses made finally, and they weren't polarized. They wasn't nothing good back then, man. We had junk, honestly. Well, we had the best you could get, but it was still junk compared to what we have nowadays.
You're exactly right.
Yeah, you always had the good stuff, man. And then I'd get some good stuff, and then something would get better, and the rods would get better. Me and my guys were talking about tackle, I guess, whatever the last day I fished was about. You know, my guys showed up, and they used to fish with us back in the mid-'80s. And everything they had was the best you could have in the mid-'80s. I'm like, dude, it's 40 years later, man. They got a lot better stuff.
Boy, look at all them nasty waders we wore back then.
Oh,
red balls and gray lights and, man.
Those gray lights from back in the day were good. You know, Pete had them, he could afford them.
Well, they'd last forever.
Exactly. Pete probably still had them.
I think Pete's pair was still hanging in his garage after he died. He never got rid of them.
Man,
he just kept them there for old time's sake.
Man, whatever happened to the old Lamar?
He finally, I think he sold that to somebody, got rid of it. Yeah.
Hey, there's one on Peaky.
Mm-hmm.
It was like your dad's. What was it called?
That was the Lamar Lancer.
It's a Lancer, and it had a, remember, the, it had like a, maybe like a, the 60 or 100 Everood, you know, the big giant ones with the little bitty prop. I mean, oh.
Yeah, had that giant cowling on it with the little old.
Yeah.
Little old tiny lower unit and little old prop with a nose cone on it.
Exactly. Well, that dude was just, it's been here. You know, I've lived here a long time, 33, 34 years or whatever. And I always see that boat the day I rode by there about 6 months ago. I said, man, that old transom's cracking. Hey, man, I rode by there about 3 weeks ago and the old motor done fell off of the transom rod.
Oh, Lord.
And the motor was laying on the ground with steering and stuff still hooked on there. And the first thing I thought about was your mom and dad and Pete. I said, well, there's an old Lamar that just rotted away. It's just sitting there.
Well, no Maurice. Still running.
Still chunking. I talked to Maurice the other day for a long time. He's doing good. He caught two really big fish this winter. He caught one that was over 30, and he caught another. I said, how big was it, Morris? He's, you know, and he said, man, I can't tell you it's 10 pounds. I didn't weigh. He said, but it was big. It was, you know, it was big. It was well over 9 pounds. I think he caught another one, maybe 29. He caught a couple of real nice fish this winter.
Yeah, good old Galveston unicorns. They're out there. There's just not a lot of them anymore, but they're still there.
They're just, yeah, you're not going to go get you.
I'm still fishing for one. I hadn't popped one yet. I'm still fishing for it, though. Hey, let me knock this break out, James. I'll be right back at you, brother. All right. Well, you know, folks, the 36th Annual CCA Star Texas Tournament, that's right around the corner coming up Memorial Day weekend. It's all brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers, Progressive Insurance, and Academy Sports and Outdoors. Sign up today. You can take advantage of up to $1.9 million in prizes and scholarships, and that's for inshore and offshore divisions. 120 tagged redfish will be released in Texas inshore waters to fish for a boat and truck package. If you're the lucky recipient of one of those, and with other species like gaff top, drum, and sheephead, then you can offshore fish for great prizes when you catch red snapper, ling, dolphin, and kingfish. Just go to startournament.org for rules, entry, and prize information. And the CCA Star Tournament is brought to you by great sponsors like Whataburger, Showwater Boats, Mustang Cat, Dargle Boats, Transport Boats, Haney Boats, Chris's Marine, and McLean Trailers. Just go to startournament.org or call 713-626-4222 and sign up today. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 5:37 here in the Bayou City. All right, James, we're back, my friend.
Yeah. Hey, I was sitting here thinking about them Mars, Dows, Beagles. I got a picture I saw not too long ago. It's a picture of me and Pete and that blue, not that snub noser he had, but.
Yeah, the old kind of cream yellow color, the snubber. Was the 16, then he upgraded to the 17 Lancer.
17 Lancer. I got a picture of Pete and I, and the boat was brand new. You must have took the picture. You know, it's, of course, an old picture. You had to go get printed and stuff.
Right.
And, man, we were on Beasley's and just crushing them old Marylers. And I was thinking about that today. I told my guys, look, man, throw that thing. And look, just like a Mariler retrieve, straight, little double pump. Mm-hmm. They look at you like they seen a ghost. They're just looking at me. And they're still over there jigging. I said, no, you know how we throw Marylers. Well, I never really did that. I said, oh, hell, man, these guys don't know what I'm talking
about.
Man,
there's a lot of people that never did all that, man. The Dows and Beasley's Reef, double pump. Man.
Double pump.
10 to 12 turns of the handle, double pump, wham, set
and
the hook.
And just set the hook, baby. How many fish did we? That's what made me think about that. I seen that fish the other day. Of course, Pete's hair was jet black. I had hair. I was a kid. Gosh, dog, how many fish do we cat.
Mirror lures taught me one thing, that, hey, fish will come get your bait if they want it. It's like that double pump that you'd get them interested in it, just to mesmerize them with that steady crank, and then you'd jig it hard twice, double pump it like you were taking it away from them, and they'd jump all over it. And that I use that type of technique on all the lures I fish with now. You know, if I got a fish that don't want to jump on it, I take it away from him and make him eat it. He'll jump all over it because he thinks, hey, it's running away. I better get it now while the getting's good.
You're exactly right, Mickey. I think that's why I tell my, I think just like, well, me and you fish together for 100 years, we know, we think. I said, look, man, nothing out here is like just going to sit here and let something eat it. That's not how the world works. It's going to try to get away, you know. Real, dude, real. Put some dude
on. Yeah, turn that handle. Doesn't cost any extra. It. And, hey, if you feel something that don't feel right, set the hook. It doesn't cost anything.
It's free. I looked the other day. I said, hey, man, you just had a bite. And I don't think so. I said, look, man, I'm telling you, I'm looking at
it. I watched your tip load up. You get sick of seeing that. You watch people's tips load up on their rod, and they don't even know it.
Oh, man. But fishing with Merrill, that was so much fun, man. And yeah, we take all them techniques and use them today. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, man, if somebody would take you and Blaine, maybe myself, I'll throw it in there, and take us in the ledges. Look, let us load up. Y'all drive us down there at 100 miles an hour. You take us to where they're at, and let's go catch them. I think we could do it.
Rip lips.
I think we could do it.
Oh, I can still catch them. It's just getting there and getting back.
That's what I'm saying. We're gonna pay somebody to drag us down.
Yeah.
Here. Y'all come on, man. But now, Mickey, I don't worry about that because it's 2 days and it's real cold and stuff anymore. Man, I don't know if I want to fight that. These little old one-day, little nasty tournaments I fish, it's nasty. At least in about 6 hours, it's going to be over.
You know, I remember fishing them tournament. One day being miserable is not bad, but 2 and 3 days of misery, it'll wear on you, man.
And,
you start making mistakes. You don't think right, you know.
That one tournament you had, it was a two-day deal. And I probably told this story before. And I never
the one around the clock, the classic?
Yeah, but it was not the good one. This was the nasty one that we fished in Galveston. That first one we fished in Sabine. I never forget, I'm putting anchor out the next morning. I know it's blowing 25 out of the north. It's like 42 degrees, 41 degrees, maybe in the low, mid, high 30s. And Dana looked at me and said, man, I think it's better than yesterday. And I looked at him, if I'd had a baseball bat, I'd have hit him. I'm looking at that boat. It's the same waves. It's the same coldness. I said, are you crazy?
Say, Dana, you say that one more time, I'm going to hit you in the head with a bed slap.
Hey, dude, when I got in that night, we left from my house, and we pulled the boat underneath, and all we did was just loop it off. I got to go inside. That's one of the few times I thought I actually had hypothermia. I actually thought, and then I had to get out there and do that again the next morning. That took a lot, dude. I didn't want no more. And then that afternoon, if you remember, that wind, that front finally faded about noontime, it got nice. And Dana caught his three. He did really well in that tournament. I couldn't catch my third fish. I think I caught two. It was, oh, my God, I still remember it. It was terrible.
Remember when I come out with a amount of fish you'd catch in the Trout Masters, everybody go, oh, anybody can catch three. I said, yeah, let's see it, bud. Pay your money, dude, and go out there and see if you can come in with three today. It was harder than you think.
Oh, Mickey, it was terrible. I remember I fished one in tournaments in Port O'Connor. I threw up the same grass bed
for two days. I remember that.
I did win that one. I had 8 bites and caught 6 fish. You know how nasty that was. But
that's
you
nasty.
Told me, said, hey, man, you got to have, this is back in the day, you got to have 3 pounds to win. I said, okay.
Yeah, and Port O'Connor, 3-pound average, you'd get you a big check every time.
Hey, you come in with 3-pound average now, get you a keychain, maybe a koozie, maybe. Probably just a keychain.
Times have changed. when you won that Port O'Connor tournament, I think Brian Sando won the amateur.
And I think his weight was a lot better than mine.
It might have been 1.5 pounds, 2 pounds more, which was a lot at Port O'Connor back then because everybody was almost the same in those weights. It was pretty crazy.
How much better did everybody got now? If you don't have Now, these little winter tournaments I fish, you can get away with not having 15 pounds. But by and large, to win, if you don't have at least 15 pounds, just go home, man. And you got to have a kicker, man. If you don't catch you a 5 or 6 pound kicker, you can't do it.
No.
You know that.
Yep. It's it's where we're at now. Everything's bigger, better, stronger, longer. It's all good.
Man, when you can take off and she leave marker 37 and go to, I was talking to Lee about that yesterday's playing golf. I think Sweeney and them, they left whatever that is, wherever that, maybe in Port Aransas or somewhere, wherever that one, that last tournament was.
Marker 37.
They drove straight to Port Mansfield and got out. And I think he caught that 870 or whatever it was. He'd been there about, I think, Lee's telling me all this. He knows Brett. He stayed there about 45 minutes and caught that fish.
Yeah.
But they're driving to him. You know, they're just going back. It don't matter where you find him in South Texas down there. No matter where he has that tournament from, you're
nothing's
going
out of
back
reach.
To the fish.
Yeah,
exactly.
Nothing is out of
Nothing
reach.
Is out of reach. No,
I remember
kidding.
Somebody won one of those redfish tournaments 3 times in a row on the same school, same place.
From all different locations.
From all
right?
different locations. They just had to drive farther.
Yeah. To me, that's like, man, hey, we're going to have a tournament on Conroe. You're going to pull your bass boat out and go to Toledo Bend. You know, it just.
Right.
I think boundaries are good. I think boundaries make the tournament.
They do.
It harder.
I'm a advocate of boundaries.
Yeah, and then it don't matter if you go 100 and run over somebody. Only go 100 so far, then you got to quit.
All right. If we're gonna fish Galveston, that's where we're fishing.
That's what your tournament was. We couldn't go. We couldn't leave your Galveston tournament and go to Matagorda or Sabine. You know, we went there and fished.
Nope.
That's what taught us how to fish all those places. When you had your tournament scattered everywhere, it was places back then we ain't never been, dude. We had to get a map just to get out into the bay, much less.
I remember that one Redfish Cup. It was out of Kema, and Trinity Bay was all muddy and fresh, water hyacinths floating everywhere. And there must have been a million redfish piled up down that west side that I live on. And everybody left out and headed straight to Sabine Lake. And it was like a boat race out of there, and everybody cutting across Ailey's, heading to Stingray to cut through and head to Sabine. Me and Blaine just run on down the west side, put the trolling motor down. Let's get a 17, 18 every day.
Y'all actually obliterated them in that tournament. That was the end of that Redfish tournament coming to Galveston. I think that was the last one, wasn't it?
No, I think the IFA was the last one. Remember when we all run out of that Cajun place on Offutt's Bow? Jimmy Lloyd fished that one with me.
Yeah.
Yep.
I ran
from there all the way to the Sandy Center River, and it was 33 degrees that morning. I looked at Jimmy when we got there, and I said, I'm too cold to fish.
But y'all turned around and caught your two fish. Cameron and I, believe
it or
not,
we had the tournament one in the first 10 minutes, two cast. I mean, boom, we got 2 over 9 in the live well. I said, let's go. So we drove all the way back to Galveston.
Yeah,
all right,
I
man.
Got it.
I got to run. I got to grab Sharky real quick. I'm running out of time today. I'm busy. Throw him out of number, right, James.
All right, brother. 497-717-7306.
All right, gonna jump the bridge,
uh-huh,
brother.
Buddy.
See you,
bye,
man. Later. Bye. All right, let's jump the bridge and talk to Captain Sharky Marquez this morning. Hey, Michael.
What's up, buddy?
Not a lot, man.
What's cooking? Good looking.
Running on adrenaline. What's up with you?
I'm running on the same, brother.
Yep.
I'm running on the same,
my
man.
Adrenaline
we
comes in a K-cup this time of morning.
Oh, buddy. It's been an awesome couple of days out here. We've been catching some fish. Golly, that wind yesterday, though.
Gosh.
That started started a rodeo for us out there, man.
Yeah.
It was pretty sporty yesterday. Those fish didn't eat in the morning. A little bit of a grind. Well, a lot of bit of a grind, you know, between the wind and the waves. And, you know, we plucked a few fish out in the morning. But, man, in the afternoon, that wind dropped down about 10 miles an hour, and we got out there. It's incredible what like an hour in between your trips can do, you know, to that weather out there.
Right.
And the water greened up, and we tried to go catch some big fish. I had some youngins on the boat, and nobody was feeling real good out there. It was still big, you know, still big waves. And we took back inside the Nord Jetty, and I was going to take them in the bay, and came through the boat cut, and I said, man, that green water is finally up on the inside of the rocks there. And, man, we threw an anchor, and first little tester cast in there to check out the current, you know, 30-inch bull red. And then from there on, it was lights out, buddy. We that light tackle bite was on fire there for that last 2 hours that we sat there of the trip. It was insane. Those fish finally had an opportunity to come back and start, you know, start eating. They were hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really good, man. The afternoon bite was absolutely stellar. It's just a game of, basically it's like a seesaw, you know, I mean, you get your big winds and nasty water, and those fish are just here because that water temperature's right. And so whenever anything shapes up out there, it's on like Donkey Kong, you know.
I agree.
And then let's see, yesterday morning Captain Jetty James was on a Texas trophy hunt, and you know, basically looking for trout, redfish, and flounder. And that's a tough trip in 25 mile an hour winds, and he ended up tucking in the channel, and I think they ended up catching 3 trout over 20 inches, with his biggest being like 23 and a half, almost 24 inches. So probably a good 5-pound fish.
Right.
So, and then they ended up getting some nice keepers, and he said a lot of small ones. I think he said they ended up catching like 25 trout.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's really good, isn't it?
Yes.
So that is the, that's the first real day that we've seen them real active like that in the channel. And the water was right for it, you know, despite the heavy winds. So, man, it's just it's an exciting time.
Well, it's that time of year, water stable, staying 75 consistently or better. And
yeah,
that's when the channel gets better and fish movement through the jetties. Campbell Bay will start producing a lot of numbers of trout, and here we go.
Absolutely.
Ready for another summer.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it, man. It's going to be a fun, super, super fun year, and the fishing's great, man. The fishing is absolutely great. We just got to get past this little wind spell that we've got going, and it's going to be game on, buddy.
Yeah, good luck. It already has been. Man.
Yeah. It's howling, buddy, this morning. I mean, it's going to drop to like 10, 12 miles an hour, but golly, I think it's gusting like high 20s right now.
Yeah, earlier I saw a sustained 24 at the jetties.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed. I'm sitting in the office talking to you because it's you probably wouldn't be able to hear me very well if I was dockside at the moment.
Yeah, be wind in the phone, brother.
Yeah, man. So we'll see, man. We're looking forward to it, Mickey. It's going to be a good year. And we got, had my buddy Fernando here late last night, and we were switching around some stuff and working
Fernando
on
Fernando Ramondi, our Honda guy,
Fernando.
Man, CJ. What a guy, man. I love
what
him.
What a guy.
He's such a good person.
Hey, man, he was here at 9 o'clock at night, you know, after a full day of work, just helping us, get the pitch right on these new motors we got.
Repropping, trying to get it just right. Yeah.
Yes, sir. So we did a couple boat tests and was tinkering around with stuff and finally hit the nail on the head. And, you know, we haven't put it out there or anything, but, you know, I'll tell the sickos first that are up this early, but we ended up going from a trip 250 Hondas on my boat to twin 350s. And
how are you liking that? Less weight,
buddy.
And, more
I ran
speed.
Yesterday on it. It is unbelievable. Those
how
V8s,
smooth are those V8s, man?
Mickey, it's unreal.
I wish I could put one on my boat.
God, you'd have to take clear for takeoff up in the tower before you sent it, because you'd be flying in that thing.
Awesome.
I'm up between 25% and 30% on fuel economy.
Oh my.
And, you know, losing the drag of that center motor, right. Lost 530 pounds on the back. And that boat, I was worried about speed. Let me tell you something. That boat hauls. It hauls. Losing 50 horsepower was nothing when you're bouncing up to the V8s and losing all that weight off the transom.
Right. That 500-something pounds makes a difference, man. Really
it
does.
Sure does, man. It just feels like a whole different boat. It feels exactly. like a whole different boat.
I bet the ride and control, everything's different.
Oh, everything is different. Everything yeah. is different. And now they got the electronic everything. You know, they got cruise control on those throttles. It's unreal. It really. They got the one lever mode, so now I don't have to sit there on nice days. You know, I press that lever,
right.
and it's going, and it stays where you stick it. And it's butter smooth. I mean, it is
awesome.
It's really something special. I'm really looking forward to getting into these offshore trips coming up in May, man. We've got a whole plethora
all right,
of offshore.
Sharky. We'll hope the wind will come down and you can get some of that good fun time in. I got to run, my friend. If somebody wants
all
to get
right,
with
buddy.
Y'all, give them some info, man.
Absolutely, man. We'd love to have you guys out, make some memories. Hop on our website, Outcast Fishing with no G. charters.com, or you could just Google us, Outcast Charters Galveston. Come out, stay with us at Bayside Lodge, man. We could sleep up to 18 people on site. Book your trip, have your corporate event with us, come make memories, you name it, we can do it right here on 61st Street at Bayside.
You got it.
Sharky, all right, buddy,
happy Easter. See you, man.
Happy Easter to you, brother. God bless you guys, and man, we'll talk to you next week with some good fishing stories, buddy.
You got it. Look forward
later.
To it. See you, man. Later. All right. You know, with potential tariffs, now's the time to protect your investment. Keep your RV in top shape with LiquiShield RV Roofing Restoration. If your roof is damaged, call Mike at 281-831-7832. LiquiShield restores your RV's roof, prevents future damage, extends its life, and boosts its value. They come to you. The job's usually done in one day. It's backed by a 30-year warranty. Book your appointment today, 281-832-7832. That's 281-831-7832. LiquiShield RV Roofing.